at I Love the.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Democratic presidential candidates are urging New Hampshire voters to come out in force today to declare their choice in that state's primary.
Not everyone agrees on the significance of today's New Hampshire primary, a small state without the diversity of more urban communities. But former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg says,
"This is a moment for bringing as many people as we can into the picture."
Bernie Sanders expected to do well in his neighboring state.
To begin the process to end the presidency of Donald Trump.
And former Vice President Joe Biden says he's the champion of the middle class, blasting President Trump for bragging about the economy.
Guess where he got that good economy from? Obama-Biden administration.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the U.S. economy appears durable with steady growth and unemployment near a half-century low, but faces risks from the broadening viral outbreak that began in China. Powell delivered the Fed's semi-annual monetary report to Congress. Also at SRNnews.com, health officials in China say medical facilities in rural areas are insufficiently equipped to stop the coronavirus outbreak that has now killed more than 1,000 people.
The authorities overseeing China's national response to the virus admit that frontline medical workers in rural areas are ill-equipped. They said more must be done to ensure that village doctors have the face masks and medical supplies they need so they're not infected. China has poured money into its healthcare system in the past decade, but it's still patchy. 40% of China's 1.4 billion people live in the countryside, leading some to worry that the virus will continue to spread until all of China's health workers have the same access to supplies and resources.
The BBC's Celia Hatton. The Dow is ahead 27 points now, the Nasdaq up 25. This is SRN News.
For your Tuesday afternoon, a mix of sun and clouds and breezy with a high up to 83. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, expect low 61. Wednesday, some areas of morning fog becoming mostly cloudy, high 83. Wednesday night, more clouds, low about 65. And Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of showers, high 80.
Johnny Erickson Tata returns on the next Focus on the Family, describing how committed Christian friends saved her from despair after her tragic accident, and how every day she trusts God with her disability. It's an inspiring reminder about the sacred value of human life in every form next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes here along with my partner in crime, or my partner in ministry, Doug McCary, on this rather warm Tuesday afternoon.
What a nice day, huh?
At least here in Jacksonville, it's a little warm. I don't know if you guys noticed it. I'm curious if you're listening and you're driving through Northeast Florida. Does it not seem like there's a lot of smoke in the air or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've kept
it's kind of hazy, isn't it?
I don't know. Steve can probably enlighten us if there's some news out there I didn't know about, something burned down. But anyway, beautiful day. Glad to be here. I'm glad you've joined us here at SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we're all about advancing truth, not only biblically, but application-wise in our life. And Doug, it's been a good day for you so far?
82 degrees here. By the way, yeah. our listeners in Meridian, we're sorry. You guys are getting deluged right now with rain at 57 degrees. And although when we were in Israel, every time we would say, you know, it was raining over there, and they would say, it's a blessing, you know.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
it is a blessing because it does bring green. It keeps the pollen at bay. And rain is a blessing, but it says heavy rain right there right now. So hope you be safe out there while you're driving. And the folks up in Virginia, in coastal Virginia, nice 68 degrees. Nice golfing weather.
Yeah.
A little cloudy up there. But thank you, folks, for listening. So appreciative of the emails. And just continue to let us know that you're listening. We like hearing from you guys, and especially if you have questions. And by the way, we are live. If you're just tuning in for the first time, the reason we're live is so that you, so Brad will a lot of times say, hey, if you want to call in, call in. If you want to call in during the first couple of segments and comment either to what we're talking about or you have a question about what we're talking about, that's great. If you have a random off-the-wall question, we'd like you to wait to that last segment because we actually have a, believe it or not, there's kind of a flow to this. So the first 15 minutes, we talk about stuff going on in the world. By the way, I want to talk about the coronavirus for a second.
Yes, man.
Because that is something that is unfolding that I think people are really kind of, well, you got people that are panicking about it. Some people saying, well, more people are killed by the flu, but we don't really know what it is really right now. They don't understand all the transmission methods of it. They don't know. And I'll tell you, because it's coming from inside of China right now, and we don't really know that we're getting all the accurate information we need to be getting as well. I know the World Health Organization just sent people over there, but it is now considered a pandemic, which is a problem. You know, I mean, we have health issues, and, you know, there's been other pandemics. You remember the SARS flu thing and all that? But now they showed videos, and this was what was alarming to me. I don't even remember this with SARS. They were actually sending people, police were going out and rounding up people with this virus, and they're putting them in internment camps over in China.
Wow.
They showed them going to take, and you could hear children crying, you know. By the way, the air quality in Jacksonville, Florida is good right now. So thank you, Steve, for doing a little research on that for
us. Hey, Steve, you haven't been outside, have you? In the last like hour and a half or 2 hours? So, yeah, that's what I figured. You know, this is why we need a window in the studio, but it is smoky outside. I'm telling you, it's smoky.
Yeah.
But enough of that.
So. Well, listen, they actually, I listened to a doctor talk about this the other night, and they were talking about, it's actually, they're finding it even transmitted through an animal that they eat over there.
Yeah.
Pantalona or something like that. It starts with a P, but it looks like an armadillo.
Hmm.
And they actually use its backside for stuff. It's got this heavy backside, like an armadillo's backside. And so, but anyway, that there's a real problem going on. Now you've got a cruise ship that no country's letting it port right now because it's got people on there that they think have coronavirus. So,
now, is that over there in China?
No. That's just out and about. I don't know exactly. I don't know if it's over in that Asian Ocean over there.
Or I'm hoping it wasn't our brother Chris Lyons out there.
No, I don't think it's him. But I do remember seeing this morning that this cruise ship, when I was, I get those news flashes, and I saw. Now, imagine for a second being stuck on a cruise ship. If you've ever been on a cruise, you know that it's very compact and illnesses can spread very rapidly on a cruise ship. And so, but this particular cruise ship, it was just stuck out there, but and they got like, I don't know, maybe a couple of thousand people on it. and they are saying that the possibility of it dying out as the weather warms up, because it tends to be a cold, you know, I mean, cold weather related thing, I guess. As far as, you know, a lot of these kind of flu and cold things go in cycles. But
did you get a flu shot? Because I'm kind of tight in this little space we're in.
Well, you know, I normally get a flu shot. In fact, we usually had to because of Rachel with her heart train, because she's immunosuppressed. But I did not get one this year, believe it or not. Maybe I should.
One of the things I wanted to bring up was the Denison Forum this morning. Did you read that Martin Luther King note? Did you see the Denison report?
No. What did it
say? So it says if you're looking for a Valentine's Day gift for your loved one, well, remember, you might consider a handwritten note from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It says sometime in the mid-1960s, he was asked to define the meaning of love. And Dr. King wrote this. He said, "Love is the greatest force in the universe. It is the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is a participant in the being of God."
Mm.
And anyway, if you're not familiar with the Denison Forum, just go to denisonforum.org. It's a daily email that comes out. Doug and I both get it and enjoy it. In fact, it's part of my morning reading with my wife. We read it. And anyway, we were both really intrigued by this this post this morning.
No, it's a great form, and he does a really good job of kind of bringing out a Christian worldview. And you know, I do want to go back to talking about this virus for a second, because as believers, because one of the things we try to do on SWAT Radio and at SWAT is, you know, what would the Bible say to people in the midst of dealing with coronavirus or the flu or everything else? And you know, if you remember, back in the 1500s, when Martin Luther penned the 95 Theses and he brought about this Reformation, there was a plague going on. And he was the head of an institution that taught preachers and prepared pastors and stuff. And he put out something that I thought was interesting. And I kind of want to talk about it just for a second. Yeah. And if you're listening, you know, maybe this would be food for thought for you too. The question was, that was put to him, was, should Christian pastors stay in a community, in a village, in a time of plague, or should they evacuate? Now, I want you to think about that for a second, because we're all pastors.
Mm-hmm.
We're all priests, and if you have the hope of Christ, what would he want us to be doing in time? So, well, you go, well, I've got a family. Well, you know, so did Martin Luther. And here's what he says. He argued that they should, not that that would bind the conscience of every pastor in every situation, but he said this, pastors, and I'll just put in there priests, because we're kingdom of priests, ought not to abandon the people in a time of pestilence. He said this in a letter to his people. This I will know, that if it were Jesus or his mother who were laid low by illness, everybody would be going to help him and his mother in his human state, sure. Obviously. Everybody would be there and become a servant and a helper. Everyone would want to be bold and fearless in that case. Nobody would flee, but everybody would come running. He said, if you wish to serve Christ and to wait on him very well, you have to help your sick neighbor who's close at hand. Go to him, serve him, and surely find Christ in him. Now think about that. I mean, that's food for thought for us as believers as we deal with this in any virus. You know, I mean, I can honestly say that there are times when I've wanted to help somebody and then they go, I'm really, really sick. Okay, I'll talk to you later. You know, and like, well, that's when they need help.
Right.
And so what do? We kind of, well, I got to preserve my health because I've got this and I've got that. And the question comes back to us is, if we're priest, who's going to serve them if all God's people said, no, I can't take a chance? Think about that.
Yeah, I am thinking about that.
It's convicting, isn't
it? Oh, it's very convicting.
Martin Luther has some convicting thoughts. I mean,
no question.
And he's a guy
it.
Who lived it, too. He wasn't perfect, but he lived this stuff out. So I just think it is a great testimony. And I think of Mother Teresa, who lived and worked among all those lepers over there. Over in Calcutta.
Well, I think it's, you know, when I think of Mother Teresa, I think of somebody who gave up the pleasures of this world for the treasure of the next world.
But isn't that what we're all called
well,
to do?
Well, exactly. And yet, Doug, the challenge even for us, well, maybe more for us, is we're surrounded by the pleasures of this world and the, you know, the treasures, if you will. And it's hard to disconnect from those things. You know, so anyway, pretty challenging question there. Yeah. We're so glad you joined us here at SWAT Radio. Again, you can call us 844-777-7928. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
I've been a sinner, I've been a saint, a little bit of both every single day. I've been lost, but somehow I've been found. There's been some pain, been some regret, been some moments I'll never forget. But when I look back from where I'm standing now, there's never been a moment I was not held inside your arms.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Tuesday afternoon. Smoggy, you know, they're not believing me. Clearly, you guys have been inside too long today.
Well, no, I saw it out there. You know, over in China, they showed these trucks, Brad. They're pumping out this mist that was, it was just more for show than anything, but they were pumping out bleach. It was diluted bleach that was going out through these trucks on the streets in the city. Mm. They're just driving literally these big old trucks that are pumping it out like the misters, like the old mosquito misters. Yeah. But they're blowing out bleach. And they're saying it's not really going to do anything. But, you know, they're just trying to give people some level of comfort because people are panicking over there. But I go back to what we were talking about right before the end, then we'll start getting into today's passage. If we realize that maybe we are caught between these worlds, and maybe we've been hanging on to the pleasure side a little too much to where we don't minister or we're not, when we realize it, it's like this song says. That was Micah Tyler, by the way. If you've never heard Micah, they got this song called Never Been a Moment. And he talks about, I've been a sinner and I've been a saint, a little bit of both. And, you know, just because you were brought into the family of God, you still live in this human body. And sometimes the enticement of the world and the enemy, tempting kind of traps that he sets for us, sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes it's not the big whiff, you know, the big thing. It's the little bitty holding on to these things here. If I go over here and do what God wants me to do. And, you know, next week we're going to get into Abraham and talking a lot about Abraham. And, you know, I just to be honest with you, I hadn't thought so much about all that he went through to follow God. You know, we just look at Abraham and go, wow, he did an amazing thing.
Faithful man, yeah.
I just want you to think about for a second, if God just said, okay, Brad, I want you to pick your family up, you're going to move and you're going to go to Hawaii, or Hawaii would be a good place, but let's say Africa, or let's say you go, you know, India. I just want you to pick your family up. I don't know where you're going. I'm not telling you the exact place. You're just going to this general area and you're going to trust me. And I'm going to bless you and make a people out of you, and I'm going to bless the world through you. I mean, that would require a lot.
Yeah. Well, faithfulness is not a one-time action.
Mm-mm.
You know, when you, whether it's Abraham or it's, you know, any number of people, all of us, you and I sat in this studio here for half an hour after the broadcast yesterday and just talked about real life stuff that quite frankly requires, sometimes there are big sacrifices made. Sometimes there are small sacrifices made. You know, there's decisions that are made in an instant that most of the time, fact of the matter is, we make them really without even considering God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, I've been fortunate enough, I wouldn't say for a long period of time, but at least in the business world that I've been in, I am, and there are others listening to me who are dependent on God providing everything you have. You are. You know, you think about your ability to provide for your family is 100% from God. Now, We can be honest and say, you know, you can work for a Fortune 500 company and your salary is still dependent upon God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a tendency to think it's dependent on the profits of the company or whatever it is, but yet every day are we reminded that God meets our needs. He provides for us. And, you know, I was just today praying about a situation that we had going on today, work, you know, work stuff. And I was just confessing with my mouth the sovereignty of God, knowing He's a good God who loves me. He's working all things out for my good and His glory. And yet still, Doug, within me, there are the temptations to doubt and to struggle and to not be obedient to what He's called me to do, even though I know He's a good God. I know He is working things out for my good. And yet, you want me to go there? You want me to do that? is that something for you? I mean, do you experience that in your own life? You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing is we think about, and this is what really the topic this week at SWAT Bible Study, the SWAT groups on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, is the security of God.
Hmm.
We're talking about our security in Him. And, you know, I don't know if you've known people like this that if they told you something, you absolutely could count on it. You never had to have a contract with them. You never had to have them write it. Their word, you knew it was going to come to pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it cost them,
right.
They still were going to do it. Now, we live in an age today where that's not as true as it used to be.
Right.
And now there's so many legal things you have to have people do. And I mean, it used to be if I said, Brad, hey, you can count on this, I'll do it for you next week, I would make sure that got done because mm-hmm. a person's word was all that they had.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost some of that. And we've actually communicated to our children and their children that's been diminished with God, mm. not necessarily in what we've said, but as much as we try to control our life
sure.
to keep God out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and even as we're looking at the text today, this idea of being all in produces maturity. And what does maturity look like in the life of a person who's all in? Well, maturity is not just more information. I know more of the Bible, or I'm serving more at my church, or I'm teaching more, I'm praying more. Certainly those are things that might be marks of maturity, but I think maturity really plays itself out in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is, I'm not, you know me, and you're the same way. We love God's word. We love to study it. We love to teach it, proclaim it, preach it, memorize it, meditate on it, all those things. But ultimately, what's the measurement of true spiritual maturity? It's obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's obedience.
Well, that's the only way that it can be seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only way faith is really demonstrated is in obedience, right?
Right.
And so, you know, just to give a recap real quick, we're in Hebrews chapter 6, and we're looking at verses 1 through 12. Today, specifically, we're going to camp out in verses 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is very misunderstood passage of Scripture. In fact, there's people that take this passage and teach that you can lose your salvation
right.
from this.
Right.
This was not a group of believers that this writer to Hebrews is writing
in
to.
In this particular.
Yeah, in this case.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not writing to believers here. In this particular section, he's actually dealing with that second group we've talked about often on here, that group of people that profess a love for Jesus maybe for a temporary time, but then they are never all in. They never were all in, so they don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit where they're reborn on the inside and they have this new life, new desires, a desire to read God's word. It was never there. And so we've been looking at this. This is the third of three warnings that started back in chapter 5, verse 11, where he's really warning about wavering. And we looked at yesterday that true belief always produces maturity and growth because there's life there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
If there's true belief, Jesus said, anyone who calls on me, and, you know, he's told the woman at the well, anyone who drinks of this water will never thirst again, ever. Now, think about that. So if you drink, that means he's saying if you become all in to the point to where you embrace me as Savior and Lord and King, you get it, and you say, okay, I'm trusting my life, then his Spirit comes in and gives you this new life, and you're all in. Not perfect, but you have been baptized by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. The old person, Paul says, is dead. Like you said that verse yesterday, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So Christ is actually inside of you. And verses 4 through 6, he's warning that second group of people that when you reject Jesus, you actually confirm that you're an apostate.
Yeah.
And so he lumps you in with the people that put Jesus on the cross. So I'm just going to have you read that section today, verses 4 through 6, and then we're going to talk about really this, what it means to not be all in, and how similar they can look to people who are all
in. Who are all in. No, absolutely. All right, we're in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt.
So it's impossible. That word in the Greek means impossible. It means that's exactly what it means. It means it can't happen. And what he's saying is that if you have received the truth and revelation and you reject it, it doesn't matter what you profess. If you ultimately reject it, there's no hope for you. You can have tasted it, and by tasting it, it means you've received it enough to have some kind of intellectual understanding, because the intellectual understanding is what leads to the heart saying, okay, I'm all in. So it got into the head, but it never made it down to the heart. And the hearts were hardened in unbelief. You said, oh, I just want one aspect of him. I don't want the total package.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of people in the Western church, especially here in America, that have bought into that concept of, I'm going to have a part of Jesus, but I'm not all in. And I don't know that the Holy Spirit ever comes in and changes them until that happens.
Well, there's a lot of language in that I just read, you know, from impossible to enlightened to a heavenly gift, having tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. I mean, man, this is a deep text.
Very deep, and you're only talking about a few verses, but it is dealing with a serious issue, and the serious issue is if you're not all in, ultimately at some point you will reject the deity of Christ. His by deity, I mean his lordship, his kingship.
Yeah.
You just say, you know what, I only wanted him for this, but I'm not all in for this. And Jesus asked the disciples if they were in that category. He goes, Lord, we don't have any place else to go but you.
Right.
You alone give us the words of life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good. Deep stuff. Glad you joined us. Call us 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. If you have any comments or questions, email us at ask@swatradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. New Hampshire has been holding the first in the nation presidential primary. The polls will be open today until 7 p.m. Meanwhile, in the aftermath of last week's technology-marred Iowa caucuses, the campaigns of both Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg have filed requests for a partial re-canvass of the results of Iowa's Democratic caucus. A federal judge has removed a major obstacle to T-Mobile's $26.5 billion takeover of Sprint, rejecting claims by a group of states that the deal would mean less competition and higher phone bills. U.S. businesses sharply cutting the number of jobs they advertised in December. The number of available positions dropped 5.4%, according to the Labor Department. On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 23 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 9. This is SRN News.
You're seeing some delays because of an accident on the East Beltway on I-295 southbound at Bay Meadows Road. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on I-95 southbound at the 295 West Beltway on the south end of town. Also, a disabled truck on I-95 southbound between Emerson Street and University Boulevard. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight. Expect low 61 Wednesday. Mostly cloudy and warm. High 83.
Hey, this is Doug McCary, and I want to invite you to listen to SWAT Radio. We're on every day from 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoons, and SWAT Radio is a live daily Christian talk show, and our focus is to bring battle buddies together around the practical and relevant truth of God's Word. We also want to equip and encourage men and help them follow Jesus, disciple other men, and interpret and respond to culture through a biblical lens. So listen to us live every day. It's Doug McCary and Brad Sykes. We'd love to have you join us.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here. That's Chris Rice. Come to Jesus. Fall on Jesus. What a what an amazing song. We're just sitting here worshiping right here in the studio.
Fall on Jesus. You know, the thing is that if you're his, you know he's the ultimate. He's mm-hmm. everything. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you know when you blow it, you go to him. You know, when you have a need, you go to him. You just know he's everything. And, you know, I used the analogy in SWAT last week that basically you've got two piles to choose from. Now, Satan covers up one pile and makes it look very attractive with nice wrapping paper and everything. But really, when you open it up, it's nothing but dung. What Paul calls it.
Mm-hmm.
And over here is the real treasure.
Yeah.
And we get deceived by the enemy, but God's people, this is what's so amazing about his sovereignty and his plan. We're going to look at that this week at SWAT. So I don't know if you struggle with security, if that's an issue for you, but maybe you want to come to one of the SWAT meetings this week, because this week is talking specifically about the eternal security that we can rest in God. And that's, I don't know, Brad, that's so comforting for me, because when you read a passage like you just read, it can be terrifying if you start thinking that this is applying to his children and that you can have your salvation ripped away. Right. I mean, you're in his family and then all of a sudden you're booted out of his family.
Or if your salvation depends on you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's having a conversation this morning with a young man, and he doesn't believe this, but you know, just battling some of that. The reality is, if you could lose your salvation, you probably would. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. If you could lose your salvation, you probably would lose your salvation.
Because we don't possess anything that gives us the ability to keep it.
Yeah.
On our own, right?
Yeah. He who the Father gave me will never be snatched out of my hands, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I got you. Well, if you're really his.
Well, I'm gonna hit on this verse tomorrow, but it's just too good not to share here. In Romans 8, you know, Paul is dealing with this issue with the Romans. And in Romans 8, verse 28, we like that, right?
We love that verse.
We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now go on to verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, he's not going to call you if he doesn't predestine you according to what that says. Mm-hmm. And he predestines you to be conformed to the right. image of his son, which means even your failures, even your mistakes, no matter how bad you blow it, he's going to use that to shape you to be like Jesus.
You know, that's, you know, because Hugh and I spend enough time, that's probably one of my favorite verses. Of course, Romans 8, 38, 39 are good. And the reality is, what is it? Philippians 1, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion.
Mm-hmm.
And when is that going to happen? He says on the day of Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
meaning when you enter glory into the presence of Jesus Christ, you'll be complete. However, between now and then, he's doing a work in you.
Well, and right after he says that in Romans 8, 28 and 29, in verse 31, he says, what should we say? If God's for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if God is saying this, I'm going to conform those I predestined to the image of Christ, Satan can do everything he wants, but he's not going to win that battle on my people.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is his people, you know, and when his people, this is why John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But we are raised in a culture that doesn't understand kingship. It doesn't understand absolute authority. We believe that we have a power and say over everything we do. But I want to go back to the passage for a second in 4 through 6. This idea of rejecting him confirms those who are apostate, not all in. These people were professing Jesus to a point, but they weren't all in. And they were wanting to go back to Judaism. And if you remember yesterday, we warned them, or he warned them, actually. He says, listen, you have to leave those elementary doctrines. Don't go back to that old stuff. That was a picture. And remember, he had reminded them back in chapter 3, and even, I think, in 5, 11 through 14, when he's talking about that old, you're like children, he's telling them that when you reject Christ, you are confirming you're an apostate. And think back to the children of Israel. They, before they were rejected from the promised land, think about what they had done in their life. They had put blood over the doorpost to be, you know, God said, do this. So they did it. They were called to follow. They went into the wilderness. They went through the Red Sea. Moses parted it. They got water from the rock. They ate the manna. They complained a lot through the process, but they even followed the cloud. They followed the cloud by, you know, day and the fire by night, but they had hardened hearts. They never really believed, because when they got to the promised land, they said, nope, we can't do it. They believed the 10 rather than Caleb and Joshua and said, nope, we're not going to do it. And so God says, okay, none of you are going to enter. Now, they had walked with God's people. They had experienced God's blessing in a general sense, and yet they didn't enter. And I think he's warning these people here, you need to understand that if you reject him after you've been given this revelation, there's no hope. And I don't know if you're listening today. Maybe you've been told about Jesus before and you know the message of the Bible and you just go, you know what, I don't really need it. I've had people in my life who go, you know what, that's great for you, Doug, but I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this false sense of security in their own ability to control their life and to one day stand before God naked and exposed and think they're going to be okay. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat one day. Some of us, it's going to be a works judgment, because we're not going to stand before the great white throne judgment if we're his.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, they're going to be in front of that great white throne, and they're going to be exposed as not God's people.
There's no escape out of that one.
No. It doesn't matter what you believed here. You know, we have this subjective belief of truth, you know, your truth and my truth. There's only one truth that matters when we're there, and it's God's truth. And he has called his people to be conformed to the image of Christ. And part of that is receiving him as both Savior and King. And I just think, Brad, we've not done a good job of talking about his kingship, because we're so afraid of legalism. We're so afraid of people feeling like, you know, they've got to clean their life up. You don't have to clean your life up. He does the work. That's what we just read. Mm-hmm. He conforms us to the image, but he will do it. He is faithful to do it because he's God.
Yeah. Well, and he's going to do things in your life you're not going to like, but it's part of his pruning process.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a tree in my backyard. I'm trying to get to grow a certain way, and I'm pruning it on one side because they say if I prune it on this side, it'll grow on the other side.
Really?
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
You know, and boy, if that guy wasn't right, I've pruned it on this one side so that I'd get growth on the other side. Now, I'm not saying, hey, cut your right arm off, you'll grow a longer one on the left. I'm just saying, I think for me as the gardener, and I want it to grow a certain way, I'm going to prune that bush the way it needs to be pruned so that it accomplishes what I want.
When he says that in his word, he says he's going to prune us.
That's if based on Romans 8:29 that you just said, that his purpose is to conform us, or use the word prune us, in a way that we look like Christ, there's going to be some struggle. Because listen, we're selfish human beings. We're wrapped in the flesh. My flesh wants what it wants. And, you know, I don't have to go very long or very far to realize my flesh is very selfish.
Yeah, we are selfish, and we are vulnerable, and we need community. We need each other. And you know what? We should not be trying to walk this life outside of community. That's why we have SWAT groups. You know, we have one that meets in the morning at Woody's at the beach at 6:30, Woody's Barbecue on Solano Road. We have one that meets at Salem Center, 7235 Bonneville Road, for lunch, 12 to 1. And then we have one that meets tomorrow night, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, at Hodges, up on Hodges and Beach at the IHOP restaurant. And Thursday morning at Jumpin' Jack's House of Food, and then Friday down at the Village Inn, and then on Thursday night out in Colorado Springs, Rich Griffith leads one. And the reason that we do this is to come along each side each other so that we can encourage and help each other to not be people that reject him.
Mm-hmm.
Because no, I mean, you ultimately don't want to be the person that's an apostate.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. By the way, go to SWATradio.com. You can check out there on our website the various Bible studies, when they meet, where they meet, and we'd love to have you join us. Email us or call us, 844-777-7928. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a ministry dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope and coming alongside those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share encouraging testimonies of transformed lives. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Tuesday afternoon. We are so glad you are tuned in wherever you're tuned in, whether it's at SWATradio.com or it's on the air here in Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Folkestone, Georgia, Meridian, Mississippi, coastal Virginia area. Heck, we've got folks listening out in Texas. I know that. Idaho. Somebody asked me yesterday, how can we get more listeners? I said, word of mouth. Tell men that wherever they are, they can tune in to SWATradio.com, listen live there. They can go back and listen to any past broadcast. Doug, there are times where I will go back and listen to things we've discussed just to remember what I believe in.
Well, and hey, I did want to remind people because I got asked the question. You know, the guy who talked about Bible memory, who'd memorized 40-something books of the Bible, when was that? That was last Thursday. Yeah, so if you go back, if you go to SWATradio.com and you listen to the February 6th program, you will hear Dr. Andrew Davis, and he has got a little booklet, an e-booklet you can get on memorization. I've been trying to go through on Philippians and started memorizing that, and it was just encouraging again to get back. And
so are you doing Philippians?
I am doing Philippians, okay. 1-3. You know, I'm just trying to do a verse a day. I just thought I would try the way he kind of, you know, described to do it. It's just one way.
Is it the way you and I were talking about back in December, maybe in November, when you and I were kind of challenging one another to memorize Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, but you take the verse and you take the word and you know, you enunciate that word maybe louder.
Well,
method?
Yeah, well, this, I'm using his method right now, and his method is a little different because the way he structures it, he structures only 6 days a week. I mean, that's what he says. You take one day off. But every day, what you do is you read through the verse 10 times.
Yeah. Okay. That's the one.
You read through the verse 10 times, then you say it aloud 10 times. All right. Then that's day one. So Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. All right. So then the next day you read through verse 2. Well, the first thing you do is say the previous verse 10 times. Again, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Just...
Well, you try to, and if you can't, you read it. But again, it's repetition, right? But then you go to verse 2. You read it 10 times, and then you say it 10 times to all the saints and, you know, Christ Jesus who were at Philippi. You know,
grace to you.
With the overseers and deacons. And then that's verse 2. Mm-hmm. You do that 10 times. All right. And then you repeat, like once you get down to verse like 10, you will say the first 9 verses, just go all the way through it once. Right. So the main focus every day is the previous day's verse and then today's verse. Mm-hmm. But then you say it all through. Okay. But I was struggling a little bit because, you know, verse 3 is, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. So that's not that bad, right? But the next verse, which is today's verse, is always in my prayer of mine for you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy. That's today's verse. So I struggled with that. But you know, what's good when you struggle is I did it more than the 10 times throughout the day. I said it probably 50 times today, and I still can't get it. I'm like, keep messing up, you know, and it's just one word here or there, but you know, I'm trying to, but what happens is, it's like he said, you can't memorize without meditating.
Right.
And that's really a good thing. You know, you're thinking, always in every prayer of mine for you. And I was thinking, you know, Paul's talking to the Philippian church, and all the prayers he was praying for these people, not just the Philippian church, Colossian church. And you think about all these burdens he had. And I thought about the guys at SWAT, and I think about the people God's brought into my life and people that I've actually been praying for that are responding to God's word. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to think about that, but that's meditating on his word and thinking about what he's saying.
Well, the discipline of hiding God's word in your heart, it's a great discipline. And even when you think about prayer, you know, I'm trying to remember, I'll have to go look at my prayer journal, which is sitting right here in my backpack, is to journal your prayers. You know, if somebody says, hey, would you pray for me today? Is to log that prayer down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I do believe, and I'm a big believer, and stop right there and pray for him. But log that prayer and then come back, whether it's 6 weeks or 6 months or 6 years, and see how God worked in that situation.
Well, you know, this morning I prayed for Lori and about a specific thing, and she had a random connection. I say random, it wasn't random, but she had a connection with somebody that ministered to her in a way that was helpful to her in the thing that I prayed for. And I say random, those things aren't random. And so what God does is, you know, we don't, I need to be careful how I say this, because there are people out there, they're going to have, you know, they're going to go, oh, I disagree. And that's fine. But I believe from the way I see scripture is we ask God for relationship. I mean, we ask him for things for relationship. You know, we ask God to do things. He already knows what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we ask God, he's actually, I believe, giving us the desire to even see these things come to pass. Yeah. And we know when Jesus asked the disciples, hey, how are we going to feed these people? It says he asked them to test them, because he already knew what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. What I believe he was hoping that they would do is say, well, Lord, you tell us what to do. You can feed them. But that's not what they said. They said, we don't know how that's going to happen. So I believe that prayer is us aligning ourselves with God's will. And in doing that, when we pray and then see something come to pass, our faith is increased and we go, wow.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Doug, you kind of, even looking at verses 4 through 6, you're talking about rejecting him confirms that those who are apostates, you know, all the stories and all the history of Israel, you know, placing the blood over the doorpost, the eating the Passover lamb, they crossed the Red Sea, you know, this whole list of things, the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, all these things that they were aware of.
They witnessed.
And how about us? How about us? All the things, but again, you and I were talking about this yesterday, that we live in a time where we're so busy. Mm-hmm. We've got so many things going on that very seldom do we just be still and just be quiet, be calm, and ask God to open up your eyes mm-hmm. to see the majesty of God. You know, we talked about it, you know, the Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. You know, it's just that very statement. And yet, I'm going to leave this studio with a meeting to get to, and I'm going to be frantically getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, how important is it that we reflect on how God is at work? And I think journaling and prayer journaling and hiding God's word, memorizing, meditating on his word reminds you of the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we approach the word and we approach prayer from the standpoint that, give me this, God, give me this, as opposed to show me who you are.
Mm.
And I've said this many times, it's not original to me, but when I open the word of God, there's two things that I want to see. I want to see the majesty of God. I want to see who God is. And then I want to see who I am in light of who he is. Mm-hmm. Because it really kind of puts you in your place.
Well, it absolutely does. And the problem with this group of people is they had it all displayed for them and they rejected. And it reminds me of Matthew 12, verses 24 through like about 32, where Jesus is healing people and the religious leaders see it. They witness it. He's telling them, I'm Messiah. He's showing them he's Messiah. He's fulfilling prophecy. And they say, he's not healing by God. He's healing by Baal. He's doing the powers of the enemy. And you know what? They reject him. And Jesus says, you can blaspheme me, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you reject when God lays it out through the power of the Holy Spirit, he unfolds, here it is, this is Jesus, you need to turn to him, you need to acknowledge your need for him, you need to acknowledge he is the Son of God, he died on a cross for you, and you need to place your faith in him, not in the facts about him, but in him, and you reject that, you say, no, I'm not going to do it, then there's no hope. And that's what he's saying in 4 through 6. It's impossible for you to be saved. And he says, you're just like the people who were there at the crucifixion, taunting Jesus. Mm-hmm. If you're God, save yourself. That's exactly what he's saying in that passage. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to people who knew it, but rejected it.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible tragedy. And when, you know, tomorrow we're going to look at Judas and Peter kind of being two examples of one who was an apostate and one who was just a broken sinner who was still a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be broken and a believer and still being conformed to the image of Christ. But Judas never allowed himself to be conformed to Christ's image, even though he did spiritual things.
Yeah. And I mean, our churches are full of them.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, you know, many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and yet he didn't know them. So may that not be true of us who are listening and tuning in today. Again, go to SWATradio.com. Bible studies kick off tomorrow morning at Woody's Barbecue and on Solana Road in Ponte Vedra. At lunchtime here at the Salem Center at noon. What's Chick-fil-A tomorrow?
Yeah, Chick-fil-A.
Ooh, son. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come join us, all right? SWATradio.com. You can email us, ask@SWATradio.com. And I hope you join us tomorrow. See you then.
See you tomorrow.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.